entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? We thank you, Father, for this day and the chance that's ours to gather in this place to worship you. We thank you for these who have gathered here today, made the choice, you brought them here. And Lord, we just thank you for each and every one. Thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And we thank you that your word teaches us how important it is that we look unto you to understand what that purpose for our life is. And we thank you for the truth regarding your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege of this series of Sunday morning messages as we are looking at the seven statements the Lord made in John's gospel, really just identifying himself as truly the Son of God. We thank you for it. His first announcement, I am the bread of life. We saw the last time we looked, he had announced, I am the light of life. And today we see he has made that third announcement, I am the door of the sheep. Lord, we pray that we would be able to understand the truth that you have for us through your word. We pray that you would be able to speak to each of our hearts, and may you open our hearts to understand. And if there are some here today that have never placed their faith and trust in you, they don't know what life is, and they certainly don't know what life more abundantly is, but it can be found through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We just commit these things to you, Lord, anticipating what you have for us, and we'll thank you for it. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I'd encourage you to just keep your Bibles open, though, to that John chapter 10 passage, as we will be making many references to it. Our passage today comes in the midst of John's record of our Lord, who we see in the Gospel of John, is reaching out to the Jewish people who were blinded by their religion and for the most part had no idea that he was their promised Messiah. We have seen so far, even mentioned in my prayer, two significant announcements that the Lord made concerning himself. Regarding that, Oliver Green said, "It is most interesting to notice the beautiful, meaningful figures which Jesus presented himself and his office to Israel in John's gospel. One was the bread of life in John chapter 6. He did not make that I am statement with it in John chapter 7, but he did refer to himself in John 7 as the living water. We saw in chapter 8, he referred to himself as the light of the world. And here in John chapter 10, we find the first of two announcements. Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, we'll see the second one in John 10. But today, we want to see him making that offer, I am the door. All that's being said, the fact that the Jews should have understood the meaning of each and every one of those figures as Jesus offered himself to them as their Messiah. Today, as we think about the door, his offering of himself as the door, the only door into the fold, into the sheepfold, verse 1, corresponded to his warning that he gave Israel in this, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, when he declared, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And today we see he is making the offer, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And so we see how this fits in with John's. It's been many, many years since we went through John's gospel. How quickly time flies. It was 2013 and 2014 that we preached through the entire gospel of John. That's a long time ago, wasn't it? And we saw as we went through that John's design of even writing that gospel was recorded in John chapter 20, verse 31. Why did he write that book? He said in John 20, 31, "These are written that you might believe, number one, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and number two, that believing you might have life through his name." His name. Number one, believe that Jesus is the Christ. That is the anointed. That is the Messiah. That touched a special note in the hearts of the Jewish people. And John said, that's why I wrote my book. so that you would understand that Jesus is truly the one we have looked forward to, waited for all these years. So today we move on, and we want to see our Lord's third announcement that he makes, which identifies him truly as God. And we see, note takers, number one, the statement he made in verse 7. The statement he made. We notice here in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, that's what verily means, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. As we think of the statement he made, a summary of the writings and what he is referring to, let me just make a summary of something that Arthur Pink wrote in his book. In coming as their Messiah, the Lord had not come to restore Judaism, which was in trouble when he appeared here on earth. That's not why he came. But he came, get this, to lead his own sheep out of Judaism. In other words, he came to call specific Jews unto himself out of. He wanted them to leave Judaism. Judaism never was the way of salvation, was it? It had all kinds of pictures of a right relationship with God, but it always left them coming up short. Even the sacrifices, which were so much a part of the Old Testament system of keeping the law of Moses that the Israeli people were doing, those sacrifices which they faithfully offered daily, according to Hebrews chapter 10, it says that they never, ever truly could take away the sin of the hearts of the people who were sacrificing to take care of their sin. All it was able to do was just cover over their sin, and God would be satisfied with that for a while. But it was like putting a Band-Aid on a sore. You know, the Band-Aid, it's a temporary sort of thing. And that's what the Old Testament sacrifices were. Remember the forerunner of our Lord in John chapter 1 on one occasion saw as, who was the forerunner of our Lord? John Baptist, who entered with his ministry 6 months before Jesus' ministry started. And he was busy calling the nation of Israel unto a baptism of repentance. That's what John's baptism was. Baptism of repentance. We've done wrong. We've turned away from God. And we want to do the right thing. On one occasion, John saw Jesus and he pointed to the crowd and he said, behold, there he is. This is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Old Testament sacrifices never could take it away. But that was what Christ was going to be accomplishing. And so as we think of this, again, I just mention what Mr. Pink said. In coming as their Messiah, the Lord didn't come to restore Judaism and to make it more prominent. Our Lord came to point out the shortcomings of Judaism and to draw people out of Judaism unto himself and accept him as the true way of salvation. You see, the door of the sheep here in verse 7, our verse, the door of the sheep was Christ himself, by which the elect of Israel passed out of Judaism as they would in faith respond to him. Illustration, as we think of what do you mean here? Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, back to Exodus chapter 33. Hold your finger or bulletin or something in our John section. We'll be back there. But in Exodus chapter 33, in the Old Testament, we find these words. Basically, the context, Judaism was in a state of unbelief at the time Exodus 33 is talking about. You say, well, these were God's people in the wilderness. That's right, but that doesn't mean that their hearts were right. And we drop down to verse 7, and it tells us here that Moses took the tabernacle, that temporary place of worship, out of the camp, out of the center of the camp. And he reconstructed it outside the camp. Let's pick up reading at verse 7. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp or outside, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out of the camp unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was out of the camp. This is exactly what we see happening here as we think of our text in John chapter 10. I am the door of the sheep, he said in verse 7. And again, thinking of what Mr. Pink said, we see that he came not to establish Judaism, but he came to draw people. He was calling those that really wanted to worship the Lord, like in Exodus 33:7. Those who really had a heart for the Lord, they didn't stay in the camp, did they? They would have to go out to the tabernacle of congregation, and that's where they could worship the Lord. And that's the picture that we see here. John is giving us of the Lord's work. When our Lord came here on earth, yes, he came as presenting himself as their Messiah, but their hearts were not ready to receive him. And we see here in John chapter 10, Christ was among his people, presenting himself as the door of his own sheep. Notice in verses 3 and 4 of John 10, We see here that the sheep hear his voice, the shepherds, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Calleth them out of what? The sheepfold of Judaism, which most authors refer to verse 1 of John 10. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold climbeth up some other way. The same as a thief and a robber, but the one that enters the sheepfold by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Having said that, as we've looked at this first point, the statement he made, let's notice number two, the condition he described in verse 8. The condition he described in verse 8. And here, when he said in verse 7, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the one the sheep are looking for. And then what condition did he describe in verse 8? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen or pay any attention to them. Let's make something very clear when it says, all that came before me was Jesus referring to some of God's servants like, Moses? Was he a thief or a robber? Or David? Or the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel? When he said, all that came before me were thieves and robbers. Let's make it very clear, he was not referring to them at all. But instead, he was referring to the scribes and the Pharisees of the Jewish religious system. The scribes and the Pharisees. They had actually appointed themselves and referred to themselves as the shepherd of the nation of Israel. God hadn't appointed them, and they were not seeking the best for the hearts of the Jewish people because they were not telling the truth. They were actually, if we could use this, they were exercising their office to really just bind people more in the religion of Judaism with all of the laws, the do's and the don'ts and the requirements that they had made that God had never given his people in the Word. And that's the condition our Lord described. As we think of this, these scribes and Pharisees over time had become actually quite well received and quite well respected by among the Jewish people. But it's interesting, if you notice in the New Testament, the strong denunciations that are recorded against any false teacher. For instance, listen to what our Lord said about them in Matthew chapter 23. Let me read this for you. Note takers, you can just jot it down, the references, if you want to look at it later. In Joshua, or in Matthew 23, verse 14 and 15, he said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." That's what he thought of them. "You devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, to put on a show, you make long prayers. Therefore, you shall receive greater damnation or judgment. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You compass sea and land." You'll go everywhere just so that you can make one proselyte, get one person. And when he is made, Jesus said, "You make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself." Pretty strong words against these religious leaders. Paul's calling them, I'm not Paul, John, quoting Jesus' words in John chapter 10, called them thieves and robbers. Verse 27 of that same passage in Matthew. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like unto whited sepulchres," or tombs. You're like white tombs. "Indeed, you appear beautiful on the outside, but are within, on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones and all kinds of uncleanness." Our Lord wasn't the only one that had scathing words of denunciation against false teachers. Jesus' forerunner, John Baptist. It tells us in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, "When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul made reference to false teachers when he said in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians these words, "For such are false teachers, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." He was referring to Satan's ministers. And that's what he called them. Deceitful workers and so on. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, he had strong words for these who were not speaking the truth. 2 Peter 2:17, he said, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Wells without water. If you were thirsty, what good, what satisfaction would a dry well be? And he said, that's what you false teachers are. Jude, verses 12 and 13, and then we'll return back to our text. That little book of Jude, 12 and 13, he called them, he said, "These are spots in your love feasts. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, their clouds without water, they're carried about of winds, their trees, whose fruit withers, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Whoa. The condition Jesus described was quite descriptive, wasn't it? As he referred to those in Judaism, that he was laboring to try to call Jewish people out unto himself, and throughout his ministry, we know there were multiple Jews that started doing what? They started following the Lord, didn't they? They left Judaism, and we find how did they leave it? By the door of the sheep. It was the Lord himself. Notice, the truth was, the sheep, those in whose hearts the Lord was truly working, didn't listen to those false ones and what they had to say. You have a good example of that. Just turn back one chapter. Chapter 9 of John. And here we find the account of the man that had been blind. He was blind from birth. But we find that the Lord Jesus healed him. The Lord restored sight, gave this man sight. And that caused quite a stir. Everybody knew who this man was. I mean, this guy was middle-aged, and everybody knew him. He's been blind. He was born blind. And now, all of a sudden, he can see. How did that happen? How did that happen? We find here, we see that it wasn't long until the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they got wind of that, and they approached this man who had just received his eyesight, and they said, "Tell us how this happened." And he began telling how this happened. He said, "A man who's called Jesus came unto me and asked if I would like to have my eyesight. Of course, I said yes." He said, he spit on the ground and he made a little mixture of dirt and spit, and he rubbed that on my eyes, and he said to go wash at a certain pool. He said, "I did. I went to that pool. I got the water from that pool, and I washed that off. And for the first time in my life, I've been able to see." And they said, "Well, what do you have to say about this guy? Well, where is he? Who is he?" He just said, "I don't know where he is. They call him Jesus." And here was the Jewish response. Here's the thieves and the robbers that Jesus is referring to in verse 8. Because listen to what the religious leaders had to say. Verse 16 of verse 9. "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, 'This man is not of God, because he broke the Sabbath. He performed this work of healing on the Sabbath day, and everybody knows you don't do any work on the Sabbath day. This man cannot be of God.' But others said, 'Well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?'" There's got to be something special about him. You say he's not of God, but I'll tell you, they had to have some special power to restore eyesight to a man who's been blind his whole life. You drop down here to verse 24. It tells us that once again they questioned this man, and then somebody said, "We must be mistaken. This must not be the guy that was born blind. Let's call the parents of the blind man." And they called the parents and they said, "Is this your son that was born blind?" They said, "Yep, that's our son. He's not a look-alike. This is really him." "How do you know?" I like the answer. I like the answer, verse 23. They said, "He's of age. Ask him." I like that. And the reason they did that is because they were terrified of these religious leaders who, if anybody that was giving any credit or taking sides with Jesus, would be thrown out of the temple. They would be excommunicated from Judaism. And that's why they didn't want to make any commitment. They just said, "He's old enough, ask him." So, verse 24, they called again the one that was blind, and they said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I know one thing, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they unto him again. Now, what did he do? How did he open your eyes? He answered and said, "I've told you already." I like that answer too. "And you did not listen or hear." He says, "Wherefore, why do you want to hear it again?" And then get this. "Do you also want to be one of his disciples?" What are we illustrating here? We are illustrating one of the Lord's sheep who is being led out of the sheepfold of Judaism. And this man that had been born blind, he had faith in the Lord. Goes on, "Then they reviled him and they said, Thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. We know that God spake to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from where he is, and yet he's opened my eyes. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, God will hear him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man could open the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Preach it, blind man. That's what he's doing. They answered and said, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The Lord had called one of his sheep unto himself, which we see here. The third point of our text, if you go back to chapter 10, we notice here the offer he made in verse 9. The offer that he made in verse 9. Notice he had referred to himself as being the door of the sheep in verse 7, but now in verse 9, we see, I am the door. He didn't say of the sheep. And there are various features in this ninth verse. Notice, he says, by me, if any man enter in. By me, if any man enter in through the door. He didn't say, join some church, say some prayers, put money in the offering, turn over a new leaf and start being a good guy for once instead of the rotten rascal that you've been. That's how you're going to be saved. No, he said here in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, then what's going to take place? He's going to be saved. Here we see the Lord Jesus teaching that a response is needed in order for one to receive the benefits our Lord has to offer. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved. You know, this is the door of salvation. And you know this door is available for each and every person who realizes their need of a Savior, and that their sin is separating them from God. The Bible teaches that I can't do anything about my sin. And my sin has put a barrier between me and God, letting me come unto Him in His presence. But Jesus said, I am the door. You want to come unto me? You come through me. By me, if any man enter, he'll be saved. What a glorious invitation. What is that response of faith that Jesus, a person, needs to repent of their sinful ways? They need to say, I'm tired of the road I'm on. I'm not going to keep on living the life I'm living. I'm coming to you, Lord, the door. They need to realize that He wants and can save them, and they need to receive His gift of forgiveness and salvation. You know, in our old green hymn books, before we got these burgundy ones, there's a song. It's not in our new one, but you'll recognize it when I start reading the words. There's a Savior who stands at the door of your heart. He is longing to enter. Why let Him depart? He has patiently called you so often before, but you must what? Open the door. He's the door. He's the door. He has come from the Father, salvation to bring, and His name is called Jesus, Redeemer and King, to save you and keep you. He pleads evermore, but you must open the door. You've got to say, yes, Lord, I am willing to enter in. I'm willing to receive the salvation that You have to offer to me. As we think of this, in verse 10 or verse 9, he says, by me, if any man enter in, he is saved. And then what? And shall go in and out and find pasture. What is that? It's suggested by most Bible teachers that when he's referring to you'll go in and out, Judaism was a very restrictive religion. But when you come to Christ, you find the freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from trying to do good enough to please. God, through his Son, paid the price, the liberty, the freedom that's ours, and then, and shall find pasture, satisfaction, and sustenance. Finally, in verse 10, the difference he states, in verse 10, he says, the thief comes not, he only has one reason for coming, to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the difference, he says, I am come that they, the sheep, might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yeah, the thieves, the robbers, the Pharisees were teachers in the religion of the Jews, and they did that for their own advantage. They taught doctrine which ruined souls and led them astray instead of saving them. Jesus came not only to save, but to also bless us far above anything we could ask. William MacDonald said, we receive life the moment we accept him as our Savior. After we're saved, however, we find that there are various degrees of enjoyment of this life. The more we turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, the more we enjoy the life which has been given to us, we not only have life then, but we have it more abundantly. My question, have you gone through the door of salvation? Have you confessed your sin? Have you asked for the gift of everlasting life that only Jesus can give? He is the door, and there's no other way but through him. Let's close in prayer, shall we? We're thankful, Father, for your word. We're thankful for this truth. And I trust that your Holy Spirit has shed light on these verses and has opened eyes of understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would have your will and way with each and every one that's here, that we might respond to you, the door, your Son, our Savior, the door of the sheep, the door through which if any person enters by faith, they'll be saved. How we thank you and praise you. In your name I pray, amen.